everyone, and welcome to Underexposed. Before starting this week's episode, I feel a moral obligation to acknowledge what is happening around the world and express my complete support to all the people that are marching for their lives and fighting for equality and human rights. I would like to use this platform to remind everyone that the least we can do is educate ourselves about the history of systemic racism. Whether you're listening from Morocco, France, the United States, or anywhere else in the world, basically, this is a global movement and we should all come together and stand up against discrimination. So I urge you all to read and use all the resources available online, on social media platforms, to learn more about this issue because knowledge is power. And obviously this is the bare minimum anyone can do. So don't hesitate to do more. Have the uncomfortable conversations with your friends and relatives. Donate if you can. Educate people. Amplify Black people's voices. Use your privilege to do the right thing. This is time to do that. So my guest this week is a very talented architecture student currently based in Lisbon, Portugal. He's one of those people whose pictures look very dreamy and inspiring. They have a certain Tumblr blog vibe, I want to say, and his aesthetic is unique and very relaxing. Hamza's pictures are very personal to him. He says that Instagram is a way for him to express himself and his emotions, and you can tell that it's also kind of a diary when you read his mysterious captions that probably only make sense to him and a few other people. So anyways, without further ado, I would like to welcome Hamza Al-Khomri on this week's episode of Underexposed. Hi Hamza, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show today. I'm very delighted to have you here. And let's start by you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Hi Usama, thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. I'm really, really so excited about it. It's so good and so cool. I encourage you, and it's really a great initiative. I really like it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. To introduce myself, basically, my name is Hamza Al-Khomri, as you all know, and yeah, maybe a lot of people don't
maybe
know
not me. Everyone.
Yeah, I know. Maybe not everyone. But as you know, my name is Hamza Al-Khomri. I'm 22 years old. I'm Moroccan, obviously. And I'm an architecture student and a fashion lover.
So you're currently based in Lisbon, Portugal, right? Are you doing an exchange there or did you move there permanently?
No, yeah, currently I'm living in Lisbon for this year because I'm a part of an exchange program between my university and my university here in Lisbon, my home university in Morocco and my university here in Lisbon. So yeah, it's just like academic exchange.
Okay, so you're an architecture student and obviously you're very passionate about this because it's what you do, it's your career. And you said that you're also into fashion, you're a fashion lover. So these are two artistic fields that I feel are very connected to photography, which is, you know, the main topic of our conversation and the podcast. Would you say that your interest in photography is kind of somehow linked to you being, you know, an architecture and fashion enthusiast, because they kind of go hand in hand in a lot of cases, or are they all independent interests?
So honestly, I like the three of them, but separately, you know, like it's not because I love fashion and I love architecture, that's why I love photography, or, you know, like vice versa. It's just, I don't know, like I just like started liking them separately and it's not because they have a link between each other.
Okay, so it just happens to be a coincidence that, you know, they're kind of intertwined.
Yeah, exactly.
I see. Then maybe tell us how you got into photography in the first place. How did your interest in that, you know, specific field starts?
Okay, like it would be like a little bit cliche, you know, like I will talk about my childhood and everything. So basically I had an uncle who was really, really so, I won't say that he was so passionate about photography, but you know, like these times when like these little Samsung phones with a camera appeared, like he bought one and he started taking pictures of everything, you know, like random things like flowers, I don't know. Doors and everything, and he, whenever there was a family gathering, he used to show us like the pictures, and I was really so impressed. I was like, if I only had a phone like this, I would totally show a lot of pictures and, you know, like express myself. And when I was a little kid, in my family, we used to have a little film camera. My dad used to give me this camera, and like I used to take a lot of pictures of like random things, and he used to develop the pictures for me, and I was always, you know, like I was really, really so happy whenever I received the pictures after like waiting for a very, very long time. So yeah, like actually it's set it like this, I would say. So basically when I got my first phone at the age of 13 or 14, I literally used to take pictures of everything, you know, like everything. And I had, you know, like in secondary school, I had friends, and they were always asking me, why would I shoot random pictures instead of shooting like pictures of myself, instead of taking selfies and everything. But I never had an answer about it. You know, like I was just passionate about taking pictures of random things. You know, I always find beauty in random things. Even if these pictures were so embarrassing, like they were the most pixelized pictures I've ever taken in my life, you know, but I used to like them a lot.
No, it's really interesting to look back at how you started, like, you know, your style in the beginning, how you started taking pictures of random things and maybe, I don't know, landscapes or flowers, like you mentioned, or basically anything. That's how you get into it. And then you kind of develop your own aesthetic, you know, with time and over the years. And now everyone who looks at your pictures on your feed on Instagram, they look super professional and fucking amazing.
Thank you so much.
And so, yeah. And I wanted to talk about the fact that you also, you're using an iPhone to shoot and edit your pictures. Honestly, you're the third person, I think, that uses an iPhone that I have on the podcast. And I think Apple should sponsor me at some point. But yeah, honestly, to be fair, they look very, very professional. And I wouldn't guess that they're taken on a phone camera. I bet that you get that a lot, actually. Do people ask you what camera you're using to take your pictures?
Yeah, exactly. Like, but a lot of people ask me if I'm taking my pictures with a camera, or like what kind of lens I'm using and everything. But I'm like, I'm just using my, you know, like my iPhone, you know?
I mean, everyone has an iPhone nowadays and everyone can take a picture, but it's really interesting how you make a picture look, because it takes a lot of, you know, thoughts and, you know, efforts to show something in such a beautiful and interesting and also very unique way. Have you ever wanted to kind of take it to the next level and maybe get a camera, or do you think it's not necessary for you?
Actually, I'm in a dilemma because of that. Since, you know, like, I think that the phone is so practical. You can take the picture whatever you want, whenever you want. You have it in your pocket and everything. But, you know, like a camera, you have to carry it every time you want, like, to shoot. I would love to get a camera, you know, like I'm thinking to buy one. But like what I'm actually trying to get into is like film photography. And when I decided to buy a film camera, coronavirus happened. So, yeah. But actually, like, I went to a store with a Moroccan friend here in Lisbon, and she gave me a film camera. It's, like, so amazing. I need to buy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well,
that
good
was
for
really
you.
So nice of her. Like, I found it in her apartment, and I was like, oh, are these film cameras yours? And she's like, yes. And then she was like, you know, like, I really love your pictures. You can have one. I really hesitated because they look so expensive, you know? And yeah, like I was so happy, and now like I only need to buy like batteries and the film.
So what makes you want to start shooting film? Is there something in particular that kind of that you really like about this, or is it just to follow the trend of film photography that is happening all over the world?
No, actually, like I really love the vibe of film photos, like the photos shot in with film camera. And you just like feel this kind of nostalgic vibe, this kind of, I wouldn't say sad, but this kind of, you know, like it's gloomy. It's, you know, like it's really like, it makes you feel nostalgic, you know, like you, and also like you get the pictures, you can save them later.
Yeah. And okay. So, I mean, it kind of depends. You're talking about how the vibe, you know, you're talking about the film photos vibe as, you're describing it as gloomy and kind of maybe melancholic and sad. It actually depends on the film that you shoot. So it actually varies from one roll of film to another one. You know, depends also on the settings and a lot of other stuff.
But yeah,
it is very clear to people that are looking at your pictures that you kind of have a certain color palette of preference, and you kind of have a vibe or, you know, an aesthetic that is very, very unique to you, and very, it screams Hamza Al-Khomri to everyone who's looking at the pictures. So do you think that is true? Like, is there something, I mean, is there a creative process behind these pictures that we see, or does it happen randomly? Are you just, is it just something that you've acquired over time and now it just happens it comes naturally to you?
So actually, Sri, I love this kind of dark and cold colors, you know, mm-hmm. and having this kind of sad aesthetics and gloomy aesthetics, you know. So like whenever I'm taking a picture, I really don't care about it. I just let it to the editing, you know, and it depends, you know, because I have a lot of pictures that don't match my feed. So I don't post them. Sometimes I just post them through my stories, or I now started a new account, like posting the pictures that I don't post in my personal account. So yeah, like that's true. I have some kind of preferences, and I do love these bluish and grayish colors.
And how important is it for a picture to fit that into that mood and to fit into your feed aesthetic? I mean, a lot of times I relate to that a little bit because I used to also like very kind of plan how my feed is going to look. I could have a picture that's really cool that I really want to share, but I don't because it doesn't fit with the vibe.
The struggle is real, but I really don't plan my, I really don't plan my feed.
No, but at the same time, you're saying that sometimes a picture doesn't fit with that vibe that's supposedly gloomy and kind of dark and very, you know, bluish, whatever. And it doesn't fit into that. It doesn't fit the criteria. So you don't post it, and you kind of just post it on your story, or you know, you set a whole other account to post your other pictures. So how important is it for you to keep and maintain that vibe on your personal like your personal Instagram?
I actually I love this kind of harmony in the feed. I mm-hmm. always care about it. So, you know, like sometimes I take a picture, I post it, and if it doesn't match my feed, I delete it, or I delete the picture, or I literally delete the picture before it so that it can match the picture before, like the picture that it's like way before.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so, yeah, like what I meant by that I do not plan my feed is that I post the pictures instantly. You know, like I do this a lot, but it depends on my mood. It depends on everything. So, yeah, I do have some pictures that I have in my archives, you know, like I mm-hmm. post them, you know, like what, like, sorry, you know, like I post them after like 2 months, 3 months, or sometimes a trip that I took 3 years ago or 4 years ago, you know.
Yeah, so we've discussed before that your pictures kind of also, your pictures convey a lot of emotions and you express yourself through them. Can you maybe elaborate on that more? Because I think it comes natural to some people who are very passionate about photography, for instance, or, you know, other forms of art, to understand how one can transmit an idea or a feeling or a story through a picture. But can you explain your personal and very own experience with that? As if you're explaining to someone whose only relationship with photography is, you know, taking a picture during a family gathering, or, you know, taking a random picture of a sunset.
So the way I express my feelings and emotions through my pictures, actually, mm-hmm. you know, like you have to take the picture, you have to feel the picture, you know? So basically sometimes when I'm taking a picture of like, when you're in a train, you see like two seats that are empty and there is like a kind of sunset light and you uh-huh. just take this picture, you know, like it feels, it actually expressed loneliness, I won't say sadness, but there is an emotion there, you know? And then, you know, like the editing plays a lot. So yeah, I think that's the way I express emotions. And also depends on my mood, because, you know, like if I'm happy, I focus more on happy things. I focus more on people laughing. I focus more on like the movement. But if I'm sad, mm-hmm. if I'm depressed, I focus more like on things like empty chairs, on like, right. or, like, you know, like dark facades, on empty places.
And there's something else that I wanted to mention. So you are doing an exchange program in Lisbon, Portugal. And I think travel helps a lot with inspiration. And, you know, it's kind of shapes, or it gives you some kind of new vision. And there's so many things that inspire your creative process and your photography and how you see things. Can you tell us a little bit how moving away maybe influenced your photography? And you've been going on a lot of trips in Europe, I imagine, because of your program. So can you also talk to us about this? How do you think travel is relevant to one's photography and developing of personal style and aesthetic?
I think that, yeah, it's true. Like traveling, it changes everything. It changes the way you take pictures because it's, you just discover a new culture, a new way of architecture, a new vibe. You know, like, for example, the pictures you're going to take in Amsterdam and not the pictures you're going to take in Stockholm, or not, they're not the pictures that you're going to take in Beirut or, I don't know, Rabat or Istanbul. It's totally different, you know? And it depends on the color palette of the city, you know? Like, for example, if you're in Lisbon, you have, it's a very colorful city. If you're in Marrakesh, it's red. Mm-hmm. If you're in, I don't know, in Amsterdam, it's dark. It's gray, black. If you're in Paris, you know, like it's really different, you know? So I think that traveling really, really changes the way you take pictures and it inspires you more because you're discovering new things, experiencing new things, seeing new things, you know, that you are not used to. And yeah, that's it for me, you know.
Yeah, especially if you're doing street photography and a lot, like your subject of photography is, you know, things and other and people that you see outside. And, you know, to each country, their personal style in fashion, for example, or the way, you know, the way they act and sometimes the cars, the public transports, the buses, everything.
Yeah, exactly. Because as you said, you know, like, and you know, like, and street photography differs from a country to another, you know, like it is, I think that it's difficult in Arab countries. For example, like in Morocco, people are not really comfortable with cameras. And if you're shooting, like if you're shooting something, like someone can tell you, why are you taking pictures of me? And because it happened to me. And also during my last trip in Lebanon, Beirut, when I used to take pictures of, I don't know, like random things in the city, sometimes some cops used to stop me because maybe it's illegal, you know, like because it's really so different from, really so different from a country to another. And it's totally different, you know, like, and for example, you know, like if you're taking pictures in Lisbon, you know, like near the beach, you feel the music in the picture, you feel the movement, you feel this, you feel the river, you feel everything. If you're taking it, for example, in a city like Bratislava, a city that is so underrated in Central Europe, where there aren't a lot of people, there aren't a lot of tourists, you know, like, and people are a little bit, I wouldn't say they're a little bit sad, but I went there during Christmas. So, you know, like the weather was so cold. The city was empty. People are visiting their families because they're not living in the capital. So yeah, you know, like it's a really total different vibe.
I think it's really interesting that you're mentioning that because I can feel that you're talking about how the general vibe of a certain city or a certain place can be literally portrayed on a picture. And that's something that's very important because as someone who shares their pictures and their work, you kind of, like, your absolute goal is to be able to share that feeling.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, make people feel the picture and not only appreciate it in a, you know, superficial way. And I think we've discussed this before on one of our conversations when you showed me that some people were reacting to your stories and telling you, or your pictures, and telling you that they can feel some type of way when looking at one of your pictures. I think that must be really rewarding. Can you tell me a little bit about
that? Yeah, I really remember, like, when I told you this, I was really so overwhelmed. I don't know, because sometimes, you know, like, when you're feeling the picture and someone tells you that they felt something, and it really means a lot, and it really touched me. So, yeah, I won't say that I always have the same reactions, but, you know, like, but usually my friends and the people that follow me on Instagram, they have, you know, like they have a very emotional reaction on some of my pictures, like some pictures that I post on sometimes on my stories or the ones I post on my feed or sometimes the IGTVs that I post to. So, yeah.
It's good that you mention IGTV as well, because you also make videos and was that always an interest of yours to make videos, or is it just something that happens that you happen to have some clips that you want to put together and kind of create something out of those?
Oh, okay. So honestly, it was so random because I didn't even expect that I will do IGTVs in my life. The first IGTV that I ever posted on my Instagram, it was the one named So Dutch. And it was basically for a class project. And we had to do a presentation about the site. that we're going to have our projects in. So I suggested to my groupmates to make a video about the site because it was an abandoned part of the city and it was really so nostalgic when we first went in. And I really wanted to bring that nostalgia and that feeling through my video and show it to all my classmates. But when I made the video and everything was fine, coronavirus happened again, as I told you before. And the classes were canceled. So I just posted it through my Instagram and then I shared the link with my classmates and my professor. So yeah, that's how I started the IGTV idea and I really liked it. And I'm not even sure if I'm going to continue making videos because actually they take a lot of time.
Well, I think that you've made like probably four or five.
So
obviously you're enjoying
it. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
They're great.
They really take a lot of time, a lot of effort, and they require a lot of inspiration.
But it's also really, really fun to make. And people love seeing that kind of content on, you know, online.
Yeah.
I still wanted to ask you about the place of photography in architecture studies. I know that in Europe or a lot of universities have a specific class for architecture and photography and architecture. And I don't know if that's the case in Morocco. I actually don't think so. But can you tell me how relevant is photography in the field of architecture?
This is a really interesting question. Photography is really important in architecture because it really glows up your projects and it really shows it from different perspectives. Actually, there exist professional architecture photographers because really photography plays a huge role in showing up your project and giving it a value. And for example, if you ever compare the official pictures in the architect's website and the pictures that were taken by a random person on Instagram, you feel the difference that, it's not the same vibe. It's not the same perspective.
Right. And what would you say is your favorite subject of photography, or what are some of the things that you really love taking pictures of?
Actually, I take pictures of everything. And for me, as long as I'm not taking pictures of flowers, that's good.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking pictures of flowers. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who are enjoying doing that very much.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. So, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, but still, you haven't answered my question, I guess.
I take pictures of everything, you know, like if I like a chair, we'll take a picture of that chair. If I like a bottle, I will take a picture of that bottle. So it depends. As I told you before, it depends on my mood. It depends on, sometimes I find them ridiculous. Sometimes I find them interesting.
Yeah, I understand. I think when you kind of express yourself through pictures, a lot of times the subject doesn't matter because you can kind of transmit the idea and that emotion through anything. To wrap up our episode for today, there's something that's interesting about your Instagram feed that I mentioned in the introduction of this episode, which is that it kind of feels like a diary because of how personal your pictures are and the captions are very kind of, they don't make sense and they're mysterious. And I said that probably only you and a few other people understand what they are. And since you are very big on, you know, expressing your emotions and your feelings through your pictures, can you maybe talk to that a little bit?
So actually, a lot of my friends used to make fun of me because of these captions. They used to find them so random, you know, like, you know,
as they should,
because I totally understand. They used to think that they don't make sense, but actually they do make sense, you know, like, so as I told you before, I'm like so emotional in my pictures and I put every single emotion of me in my pictures. So, you know, like sometimes when I'm sad or happy or angry or being sarcastic or sassy or whatever. So like I just transmit my feeling through my caption. So if I'm listening to a sad song, maybe I will write some of the lyrics. And sometimes I just write an inside joke between me and my friends.
And it speaks to how I said that your Instagram feed kind of feels like a diary because it reminds you of some memories that you've lived with, you know, some of your friends or some of your people. And yeah, I think that at some point your Instagram feed kind of becomes like a, you know, like a digital photography book or some kind of memory book that you just go back
that's
inside
idea,
and see
actually,
pictures that you took, you know, years ago, and it reminds you of where you were and who you were with, and it's really interesting. So I think it's we're at the end of our episode. I would like to thank you so much, Hamza, for this very fun and interesting
thank
conversation.
You so much.
It was really lovely to have you here.
thank you so much for listening, guys. Don't forget to tune in next weekend for another brand new episode of Underexposed with my first MENA region guest ever.